The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. If music be the food of love, play on. This quote comes from William Shakespeare in his play, Twelfth Night, and I will admit that I don't think I've ever actually read or seen Twelfth Night. But I know this quote from singing a choral piece when I was in college in our women's ensemble. And so when I hear these words, I'm transported back to that stage of when we sang it in that concert. I'm not going back to the Globe Theater or some sort of Shakespearean performance, but I'm going back to the group of people that I would eat ice cream on the quad with and watch lacrosse games and sit in a classroom with. That's where I know these words. And in fact, I remember being on stage with we, the women, clad in the least flattering black choral dresses. And if you've ever sang in a choral ensemble and had to wear the uniform look, it's never that fashionable of a look. I don't know, maybe Renee had more fashionable look for her students, but we had these sort of just terrible black dresses that we would wear. So when I hear those words, I can still feel that sheer fabric on my skin. I can smell the auditorium, and I can feel the lurch in my stomach because as a tall person, I always had to stand on the back riser and hope that I wouldn't fall off the back. Because you music directors never love to give tall people something to hold on to. You just say, "Don't fall over." You have a back rail? Well, thank goodness, right? Probably tall people like have revolted and said, "Give us a back rail." Songs remind us of specific memories, of movies, our first concert, maybe our first kiss, our wedding day, the song that we sing when we hold babies. Songs remind us of seasons in our lives, both literally and figuratively. Songs remind us of people that we have loved, places where we have been, and stories that we have lived. In memory loss, songs are typically the one thing that remains. I've been at the bedside of someone dying who cannot articulate their own name, but could sing every word of Amazing Grace. And when we sing together, ooh, buddy. They have done scientific research that say when you sing, it releases endorphins that make you happy. And when we sing together, like we do here on Sundays, or when you're at a concert of your favorite band, or when you're driving down the highway and you've got a friend beside you and you've got that certain song singing, maybe it's Rick Roll, who knows, right? When you're singing, the endorphins are released, and singing with somebody releases even more endorphins. In fact, one of the hardest things for me during the season of COVID was for the years of not being able to sing with people, not having that connection of being with people and singing the stories. Because it's human nature to tell our story through music, through songs. And we've been doing it for millennia. It's been a tradition of the larger church for a long time to gather and worship and hear multiple readings from the Bible. Now, typically, we have an Old Testament reading, right? We had Exodus today. Then we have the Psalm, And then we have the New Testament reading, which is really an epistle, the letter that Paul wrote to a community. And then we have one of the four canonical gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, right? We have the gospel reading that typically whoever's preaching reads that gospel reading. And every time I start to think, do we really need all that Bible reading, right? Like, I don't even preach on all of it. Sometimes it feels like we just gloss over it. We just have to get through it, right? And maybe we get to the point where whatever story, whatever which one I chose and I preach on, that's the one that makes more sense or less sense, depending on how bad of a sermon it is, right? Now, every time I do that and I think, let's just cut down on some of those readings, I realize how powerful our Bible songbook is in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is a collection of songs. Literally songs that people sang to tell the stories of what they knew, of who they knew, of what they were going through. And the Psalms can be broken down into three categories: praise, lament, and thanksgiving. Praise, right? Like, oh, what a beautiful morning! Or how sweet it is to be loved by you! Or everything is awesome! The kids are gone, but that's from the Lego movie, so that's the most important praise song, right? Lament, right? Everything's not awesome, as in the Lego 2 movie, or basically anything by Taylor Swift. Thanksgiving, I think you all know what it means to be thankful, and you hear that in music. What drew me to talking about this week's psalm is that this particular song out of our biblical songbook, the scriptural hymnal, is that it feels like it is simultaneously praise, lament, and thanksgiving. The psalm cries out in lament, not for what wrong has been done to the speaker, to the singer, not that their heart has been broken by someone or something has happened to them, but that their lament is their sadness and feeling like a piece of crap. That's very biblical, right? Feeling like a piece of crap. It says, "Have mercy on me, O God. Against you I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. I was born wicked." This writer is crying out to God and saying, "I am a hot mess, God. Help me. Because I feel like all I do is mess things up and I'm just worthless. I am useless." The song, this prayer, is quite familiar to my lips. I know that I've sung a very similar tune in times of my life, and I suspect many of you have as well. I've allowed this song to be on repeat from time to time, convinced that I am in fact a useless piece of crap, unlovable and unworthy, even to God. We lament. We cry out. We remain silent because we don't have the words to even cry out. We live in our own messy feelings of being disposable and useless to our God, to our world, and to ourselves. But that's not where the psalm stays. Now, it gives that lament piece, but then I'm going to quote a few lines from the Message translation of the Bible. And I always tell people that I really like certain translations because they're maybe a little more accurate for the ancient text, but the Message is really easy to read. So if you're looking for a Bible that you're like, I get stuck in the words, read the Message. Because it says, "God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Don't throw me out with the trash or fail to breathe holiness in me. Bring me back from gray exile. Put a fresh wind in my sails. God, help me start over. Help me figure out how to move forward and not remain stuck in this quicksand. Put a fresh wind in my sails." And while this is a song or a prayer that is begging for God to do a whole lot of work on us, to me, this is where the praise comes in. Because if we don't think that God is capable of taking our broken hearts and making a new thing, if we don't think God is capable of breathing holiness into us, and if we don't think that God is capable of drawing us out of our shame spiral, then we wouldn't speak to God. "Unbutton my lips, dear God. I'll let loose with your praise. Unbutton my lips. Physically take my human lips, my mouth, my being, and free me, God. I'm ready to be liberated. Release me from the pain and heartache of believing that I am not enough. This is the thankfulness part of the psalm. The promise to God that it's not just about crying out in the lament and anger and sadness and all those heavy emotions, but in the midst of the tears and the dark nights, in the angering, we still seek God. And maybe that's what I find so empowering about the Psalms. Just like other music in our lives, the wedding songs, the driving down the back road type of music with the windows down, the movie theme songs, the Psalms help put our words into our thoughts, our feelings, and our prayers. And this psalm helps us hear a voice crying out of their own heartache and feelings of inadequacy to then claim our God, who does not abandon us, and who does not throw us out with the trash, and who does not give up on us when we are hot messes of humanity. People often ask if I think God would like this person or that person or this group or that group or this identity or not. And we scramble to find scripture to support those that we like and those that we don't like. We try to use our history and traditions to determine politics and morals of our modern time. And while none of us really know what God is thinking 100% of the time, it's songs like this, where we are reaching out to God and owning our messiness, that I think I see the clearest image of who God is. As a childless adult, I can grocery shop at any hour of any day. And I really don't have to worry about what little hands are sticking things into the cart that I'm not aware of, or suddenly eating something that I haven't paid for. But when I see kids in the stores having immense meltdowns at the grocery store that you know they're going to do, right? Because they didn't get the candy they wanted, or they didn't get something else they wanted, or they're tired, or whatever it is. But you've seen those grocery store meltdowns. There is a particular variety of them. And if you have children, you're like, yeah, I've weathered those. I don't like them. But when I see those meltdowns, whether the child is clearly hungry or tired or just needs to go home or whatever it is, I see the face of God. Because in our lives, when we are angry and crying and screaming and covered in snot and sitting on the floor and wailing or laying on our stomach and just punching the ground, this is where God is the most holy of holies. God, by being in relationship with us as this holy parent, as father or mother or grandfather or auntie or some sort of marshmallowy mass that floats in the sky, whatever you visualize for God, that being loves our snotty, messy selves on the ground. And God, like a holy parent, stands near us as we have these meltdowns, no matter how loud or how quiet they are, whatever our expressions of sadness and anger as they ring out of our bodies. God stays close, watching us and keeping us safe, but allowing us to have these moments, to have free will, to express whatever we want to express. And when we're ready, God takes our hand, pulls us off the floor of the aisle, pulls us into God's arms, no matter how soft or strong or marshmallowy they are, and sings us a sweet lullaby to calm our spirits. God sings us a song that reminds us, whether we are lamenting, praising, or thanking, or doing all three at once, that we are claimed as beloved children and loved, no matter what, no matter what fit we've thrown. God sings us a song that comes in the meal of bread and wine. God sings us a song of love that comes in the sharing of stories. God sings a song of love that comes in the embrace of community, of other people who are also screaming and crying on the ground. God sings us a song of love that comes in so many different ways, And for this, we rejoice in the holy hands that reach down and scoop us off the floor and make a fresh start in us. God, unbutton our lips this day and let our song of praise ring out. Thanks be to God. Amen.